So if you haven't been here for the last couple weeks or you missed one, maybe 3 weeks ago, we introduced the concept of taking a short segment where we normally would have a testimony, which we really believe in, and take a couple minutes to talk about a spiritually relevant issue in the world we live in. And that's what we're going to do this morning. And I want to start, and this is really important to me, because today is not necessarily going to be like, that's fun type thing. I'm up here not on my own authority. I am here as a representative of the leadership of Pine Grove Community Church and standing on the Word of God. In fact, this is something that we all have to agree on. Our role as accountable leaders and our role as the church of Jesus Christ on earth, his body, his family, is to stand on and for the Word of God. This is our foundation. Does anyone agree? We have to agree on this. This is our foundation. It's our rock. It's our center. It's the core that from which we draw all truth, purpose, life, inspiration. This is so important. And what I have to talk about today, I mean, like, the thing is that as representatives of his word, the last thing that we want to do is have enemies. And we know that already, and this is not a joke, there are some churches in this town that are teaching their people that we are some sort of cult. And we will stand on the truth, no matter what people think, with humility and trust in God. I'm up here to represent him and the leadership of our church. And we need to tackle an issue that is very, very important and dear to our hearts. We live in a world that is totally saturated with lies. Do we agree? With our media and our government and organizations, even among the family, in the world of counseling and psychiatry, we are totally and constantly bombarded by lies. Let's take the public school, for instance. We know, and honestly, how often, not nearly often enough, do we stop and mourn the fact that our youth and children are daily being taught as truth things that stand opposed to the Word of God. The nature of man, the nature of the world, our purpose, our morality, all are being taught in opposition to what we see in the Word of God. And that can be such a bombardment. That is such a good word for it. In our society, we live in a world that's being totally decimated by these lies, and the concussive repercussions of those lies can leave a lot of believers reeling and broken and hurting because of all these mixed messages that are coming through. And that can be a real hardship. But there's one consolation in that. The school district is not claiming to represent God when it teaches those things, right? And so when as believers, we choose by the Holy Spirit to view our world through the correct lens, we can learn, even from a young age, students to the oldest adult can learn to see the world through the lens of Scripture and realize that what they're hearing is worldly wisdom and remember where it comes from. And in that, then we know how to handle it, what to do with it, how to process those lies. Do we agree? And that can be a really damaging thing, this lie, this mistruth culture that we live in. But honestly, what I'm here to talk about is that there is something far more deceptive and infinitely more destructive. And that is when a person or organization claims to be representing God of the Bible, then intentionally or unintentionally misrepresents him. When organization or person claims to be standing for the God of the Bible, they carry the Christian label, yet intentionally or unintentionally are saying misinformation about him. This is the biggest threat to the church of God on earth. And the Bible calls these people false teachers. 2 Peter 2:1. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. This can be an individual or an organization. But you know what? This is not our opinion. These are not even our words when I say that the God that we serve has some strong words for people who bring the way of truth into disrepute. Matthew 7. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Romans 16:17. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. 2 Corinthians. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Clearly, the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, has taken a strong stance showing the heart of God on false teaching among the believers. And also, this is such a relevant issue that the Bible takes quite a bit of time to help us to illuminate the intentions and motives of false teachers. And they basically, from how I see it, boil down into three categories. This is the intentions, the motivations of people that are teaching false things as representatives of Christ. And the first one is ignorance. 1 Timothy 1:6. Some have departed from these, the context here is biblical truths, and have turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they're talking about or what they so confidently affirm. Some people have taught false doctrine, false truths about the character and nature of God, the Bible, religion, the future, the past. And it's because they just didn't take the time to learn what the truth was. What is our response to that? Teachers are accountable for what they teach. I didn't know better is not an excuse. We see that in his word. Another motivation we see is what we call worldly wisdom. It's just a person who or an organization who has become clouded in their thinking through the mixture of worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. And when those two things collide, what we see is a lot of well-meaning churches feeling like we really want the world to come to Christ, so we need to find a way to make the God of the Bible fit in the pop culture of our world. Surely we can introduce them to a God who fits their standard. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. 2 Timothy 3:5, again, referring to false teachers, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. The truth is that God is good and all his commands are good, even if they don't fit with your mind. We cannot mix worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. They are incompatible. And the third thing that we see as a motivation for false teachers is what the Bible just calls personal gain. This kind of falls into two categories. 1 Timothy 6:5 says financial gain. There will be people claiming to represent Christ who are representing him for their own financial gain. And the second thing, and this is very specific, but God included it in his word, is that false teachers will try to gain influence over susceptible women who are hurting. 2 Timothy 3:6. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. This is a big problem. And just in case you are sitting here being like, surely false teaching is not something that we will wrestle with here in our comfortable and very beautiful and spiritual corner of the world, I'm up here today to say that this is an issue here and now that believers in this room have got to be prepared for and equipped to handle. Because God's people, the goal of the church is to equip believers to be able to engage with the world and not just react to it. How could this happen? But to be ready and willing and equipped and able and trained to engage in our society. And this is an issue right here. And listen, these examples, I give as examples because we need to know this is relevant. All of these have come just from this summer. And I promise that I will not stretch or bias in any way. We have churches in our hometown teaching that there is no biblical reason why abortions or homosexual acts are sinful. And that is devastating. We hear of a local pastor saying that the stories from the Old Testament aren't necessarily reality because they would be impossible. They're just included in the Bible to get kids interested in religion. And therefore, the Bible is not the infallible Word of God. It's just a really good guide. That's false teaching. And again, this is word for word what we have been told, and it breaks my heart that we have middle school girls who are being taught right here in this town basically three things. All you need can be found within yourself. You're perfect the way you are, and be mindful of yourself. And on the surface, maybe even to some of you, it's like, wait, where's the false teaching in that? And isn't that the most destructive kind of lie? Because it is a lie. We know that all we need is found in Christ. It was never in us. All we need is in Him, not in ourselves. We need the Lord not just for our salvation, but for our lives. Our souls have been made perfect, right? We know that. But the Word of God is also very clear that our minds and our bodies and our hearts are still broken. And we are not perfect the way we are. So it sounds like when you tell a young person, you're perfect the way you are, it's like some kind of self-confidence boost. But it is a false confidence that leads to destruction. Because we know that our true hope and purpose is found in the renewing of our minds, to be transformed into His image. That's our hope. And also, when in all of God's Word have we ever been commanded to be mindful of ourselves? Aren't we called to be meditating on the Word of God? The one who thinks on Him day and night is the one who becomes like the tree planted by streams of living water, giving its fruit in season and who prospers. Not because we are aware of our emotions. We become aware of who we are so that we can submit those things to the truth and the authority of Scripture. And it breaks my heart to see people, students, being deceived into thinking that you're good the way you are. And one last one, and this happened to me 2 weeks ago. I was talking to a middle school boy, who was like, can I ask you a question? Over the summer, I went to a Christian summer camp, and I talked to the person who was leading the lesson time, and I was like, I have a friend who's Hindu, And I was like, do like other religions, like people who are like Hindu and Buddhist and stuff, like when they die, do they go to heaven? And this religious Christian leader, Protestant Christian leader, said, you got to understand something. God has revealed himself throughout the world in many different names. And if a person truly believes in their heart, no matter what religion they are, yes, when they die, they will go to heaven. Because all of those roads lead to God through faith. That is a lie. And so what I had to do, now having that man misrepresent the whole basis of the gospel in the short attention span that I was given, to say, if you really believe something, really, really believe a lie, does it make it true? If something is sad, does it make it a lie? There is only one name on earth given to men by which we must be saved, and that is Jesus Christ. Do we agree with that? And then I was put in the position of having, and you know what I asked this boy before I said that? I said, how does it make you feel knowing that all religions lead to heaven? And he said, I feel so relieved. Because now I don't have to worry about my friends who aren't Christians. Listen, that does sound like a nice thought, but we should be worried about our friends who are not Christians. Because as Pastor Bob said this morning, the man who came and was the standard for how much it's possible to love declared there was only one way to be saved. And it was the most loving thing he could have said. So what do we do in response to all this? Relevant, clear, and present danger. Three things. The first one is this. We need to beware to all in this room who teach your own children or other people's children, or any of God's children. Matthew 18:6, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. We have a responsibility. We need to be careful. That's the second. Be careful, guys. 1 John 4:1, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is what I'm trying to say. Not every book or blog or Christian friend or YouTube video or pastor or church is to be trusted just because they carry the Christian label. We need to be wise. What do we do in response to this incredible threat of false teaching that is coming against the believers and has been from the beginning? We have a clear example in Acts 17, and it's so good and it's so short. Now the Berean, which is just the place, Berea. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Even from the teaching of Paul, they eagerly took what he said and they held it up to our ultimate model of truth, which is the Word of God. And when the doctrine matched the truth, they accepted it eagerly. And it is the responsibility of all of God's people to be the guardians and the protectors and the passing alongers of the truth of the gospel. From the big concepts to the little commands. Join me, church. Join us in praying against false teaching. in representing the truth of the gospel well and humbly and boldly. And remember, we're not saying that, like, in the first service, I accidentally said 1 Peter instead of 2 Peter. That's not false teaching. Obviously, the more words that you say up front, the more you're going to just say weird stuff, as you're very aware of. But listen, what we're talking about is not the occasional, oops, I accidentally said the wrong word. We're talking about misrepresenting the truth of the Word of God. Let's be careful and be cautious and be wise. And this is the, praise team people, you guys can come up. This is what I want to say to end. This is our hope. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Because the Word of God is our standard and our hope and our present help. And we will not compromise that. Praise God that He's given us such a gift. Let's you and I protect it.